The following program contains views and opinions which are not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.
And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. It's totally titanic, terrific, too much fun, and it's almost tasteful to Tuesday. As we align with the faithfulness of God the Father, the graciousness of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the comfort from the Holy Spirit. First up, in any argument, in any discussion, there is one tremendous key. What is a person's authority? That will tell you all you need to know. Next, there is only so much God can take, and in some cases, that turns out to be a good thing for you and for me. And finally, when the Lord says something, it is solid, like the foundation of the earth. But what it is not is based on my Timex, your Rolex, or anybody else's sundial.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience. Local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Always good to prevail. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations, spiritual observations, my life's insanities, and oy vey, so much more. Hey, we're asking you, what do you think? Now, you can call the show, 972-445-0770. If you do, Terrific T will be very, very careful, handle you like with kid gloves, and she will put you through to me. I might hang up on you, but she'll put you through. That's the big thing. Other than that, you can text in 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. Keep in mind that this is for praise reports, prayer requests. They're for pop questions. If you're trying to figure something out, we can help out on the spot. We will. If not, we'll research and get it back to you. Also for trivia. Let me say, in the way of praise reports, Eric had sent me a praise report, and I didn't use it yesterday on purpose, and I was going to use it today, and then looked at what I got set up for tomorrow, and it fits for tomorrow. So I'm just waiting on purpose. Ha! How about that? But in regards to trivia, here we go. In what chapter of the Bible do you find the phrase, "He leadeth me beside the still waters"? In what chapter of the Bible is that scripture? There you go. To keep it that easy. We're just letting you know that any topic's open for conversation. The reason is very simple. It's not professional radio. It's just radio, and most of the time, we're not that sure about that. It's a cross between Steve Martin, Sean Hannity, and Focus on the Family, the David Spoon Experience. So buckle up, little campers. Here we go. Let me start off with by giving a few props to somebody I met with today, if that's okay with everybody. I met with these two wonderful people, Renee and Christopher. They are from The Bucket Ministry. And after our caller comes in and answers this question, I'm going to tell you just a little bit about The Bucket Ministry. Don't forget, you can always go to thebucketministry.org to get more info. Here we go on the trivia. This is David. What kind of pizza can I get you? Oh no! What can I do for you?
Well, good morning to you too, sir. I'm taking a guess at Psalms 23.
That is correctamundo. You got it.
Is that also the one right after Psalms 22 that is a perfect depiction of the crucifixion of Christ?
That's exactly right. Excellent connection. And it's so wonderful to see this Psalm 22. And if you read it and see how prophetic it really is and walks right into Psalm 23, it's fantastic. The whole conclusion, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." I mean, that is like, that's the way you go. That's the way you start it. Excellent.
And you add Psalms 24 to it, too, and then you get 1, 2, 3, the crucifixion, the time we're in now, and then the coming kingdom.
There you go. Very good, my brother. Thank you for calling in. Excellent job. Gold star all the way.
Bless you.
All right. God bless. Okay. Excellent job as we get rolling. We're rolling. We're rollers. We roll. This is how we roll. I don't know what that means. Okay, I know what it meant when we were doing the thing for... Okay, anyway, so Christopher and Renee, they were sharing. So the Bucket Ministry, I'm just going to give you this quick overview, and we're going to kind of dive into this over time. But what they do is they find and they identify places that have water that's not drinkable for the people in the village. It's like disgusting water. Like if you hold up a cup of mud... and then you hold up a cup of bottled water, you would notice a difference, right? Well, they provide filters in these communities all over the world where people cannot get clean drinking water. They get clean drinking water to these people, give them the opportunity to be able to drink something that won't get them sick. And while they're giving them the gift of life through water, they share the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And it's a fabulous, fabulous ministry. Giving big props to them right off the bat. Just had an hour and a half meeting today. There's no, I don't get anything for this. We don't do that. What we do is we promote the kingdom of God together. And their ministry, if you will get more information, and I'll be giving more as we go on. It's called The Bucket Ministry. Bucket, as in put water in a bucket. TheBucketMinistry.org. TheBucketMinistry.org, and within the next week, we'll have a link up on the website so you can just kind of click and go directly to them. And whatever you do with them, it's fantastic. I just pray that you would follow what the Lord leads you in. And here's the biggest thing of all. They're looking for prayer warriors. And I know our audience, everybody's really good at that. So let's do that, okay? All right, so I'm thin on time, so I'm just going to keep going. Not thin in my stomach, but I'm thin on time. Here we go. This is something you should remember. Ready? Next time somebody says to you, and I don't know if anybody's ever said this to you, you're judging me, man. You're judging me, man. Don't judge me, man. You ever heard that somebody say that? I've heard that on TV, too. Like, don't judge me, man. I was actually in a prison trying to work with some people, and this one guy's looked at me and he goes, don't judge me, man. I was like, okay, whatever. Here it is. Besides the fact that you could just quote John 7:24, where Jesus said, judge ye righteous judgment. See, they quote Matthew 7. Don't judge, but they do it out of context because that's hypocritical judging. But they never quote John 7:24 because that doesn't fit the narrative. So, yeah, you get it. So the idea is you can always just say, if you really want to get into the conversation, dude, by saying that to me, you're judging me that I'm judging you. If you wanted to. Here's what you really need to be aware of. The bottom line to any discussion, any disagreement, any argument, any engagement that you're going to have where there are sides to it, any kind of discussion on spiritual truths and morality, you only have to identify this one element. I'm trying to make all of your discussions about spiritual elements easiest. Here it is. Ready? You just got to figure out, you just got to have the person acknowledge, you just have to acknowledge, what is your authority? In other words, where do you get that? So in our universe, there are four places that people come up with where their authority comes from. The first thing they do is they say, well, that's society. That's the way society is. That's society. Well, what's fantastic about society is it's run by sinful men and women. So maybe that's not the best place, okay? Then they do this one. I've had to talk to family members about this. Well, that's how I feel about it. That's how I feel. That's where I get my authority. Well, guess what? If I go to Taco Bell and eat 36 tacos, 26 churros, and 14 nachos, and then drink 16 Mountain Dews, I'm not going to feel that way, am I? I'm going to feel like I'm dying. And I'm not going to feel the love of God. But that doesn't change the love of God, does it? So just because you feel it, doesn't make it so. It's not you're supposed to deny your feelings, but the feelings are not supposed to be the number one engine in your train, so to speak. So society, if you look at society, you'd be like, I've seen all the different ways we figured out to kill people. That's not a good idea. How I feel, eh. Then the people will go, well, it's reasoning. It's reasoning. It's just logical reasoning. And you just have to ask this one question. Whose reasoning? Who's doing the reasoning? If it's a Pee Wee Herman reasoning, it could be slightly different than it could be from somebody in Hollywood, or maybe the same. I don't know. Here's the bottom line. Reasoning has to be determined in something specific or something that's you can count on and be reliable. And people are like, oh, well, my reasoning. And then all of a sudden, instead of it being feelings or instead of it being society, it's how the person thinks. But then don't you understand? If that's their authority, then they're playing God. Oh, wait, isn't that what Adam and Eve tried to do? We'll just eat that fruit there and we'll be like God. Yeah. And then the other one, this is a classic. It's either tradition or history or science. And people go, it's science, man. You can totally rely on science. 150 years ago, they said, well, you upset? Here, smoke one of these. Now science is going, don't do that. And then for a while, remember what science did? Don't drink milk. Don't drink water. Don't have eggs. Don't have this. Don't have this. Don't have this. And people will even acknowledge it's ever changing. It's ever evolving. Right. So how can you rely on something that's ever evolving or revolving or changing? They used to think cigarettes were good for you. Doctors would tell their patients, smoke a cigarette and relax. That's not exactly the way it is. And then remember when they did this, I guess you guys might not remember this. The Earth is 60 billion years old. Okay, the Earth is 40 billion. Okay, the Earth is 20 billion. Okay, the Earth is 10 billion. I just want to know if the guy who said it's 60 billion years old, if they put him in jail. What happened to that guy? Here's the bottom line. The bottom line is your authority should be the word of God. Why? Because God created the universe and the dude can write a book. And that's the bottom line. People get really mad when I say that. And it's like, no, I don't think you understand. But Dave, you've got different translations and so on and so forth. Bibliology, one of my favorite topics. The difference is 0.001 in regards to translation. People are not really aware of that. And not one single major doctrine has ever been changed by translation. Here's the bottom line. You can count on and rely on the authority of the Word of God. Culture changes, doesn't it? Isn't culture different now than it was 20 years ago? Society changes. The science changes. Your feelings changes. How you get out of bed changes. Because now I get out of bed and go, ow, I didn't do that when I was 15. But the truth of God never changes. And if you want to have something to reliable to have your conversations with, let it be that which was written by He who created the universe. That is something you can count on. It's just that simple and that easy. I love this stuff. All right, folks, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
All of mankind, destroying everyone.
Hey, here's something your insurance company doesn't want you to know. Some restoration companies have signed contracts with the insurance companies to get more business. At Mr. Restore, we don't participate in any insurance contracts because we believe they're a conflict of interest. Mr. Restore works for you and will always look out for your best interests. So, when you have fire, smoke, water, or flood damage, use the restoration company that's in your corner. Learn more at MrRestore.com.
Back to normal like you were before. If you have fire, water, damage, call Mr. Restore.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
That a joyful heart makes like medicine. If you got a better joke than these, you can call and tell me, but it's got to be a better joke. How do groups of angels greet each other? Ready for this one? Halo, halo, halo. Come on, like halo. Come on. You don't like that one? Oh, come on. Which servant of God was the most flagrant lawbreaker in the Bible? Moses. He broke all 10 commandments at once. See, because he threw down the tent. Where was Solomon's temple located? Do you know that one? On the side of his head. That's a legend. How does Moses make his coffee? He brews it. Okay. How do we know that there were automobiles in Jesus' time? You know this one? It's an old one. It's very simple. Because the Bible says that all the disciples went out and were in one accord. Okay. All right. Did you hear about the dial-up prayer service they have for atheists now? Did you hear about that? You dial the number, it rings and rings and rings, and nobody answers.
Spoon!
Okay. Somebody's going to dislike this one, but this is silly, so just relax. Take a deep breath. Are you going to tell me life's so serious? I mean, are you not just sick of everything that's going around? Take a deep breath and think about this. Who are Gumby's favorite Bible characters? That's right. I said Gumby. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Abednego. Thank you very much. Who was the smartest man in the Bible? Smartest man in the Bible. Abraham, because he knew a lot. Come on. That's good. All right, here, we'll get to the best ones, then we'll quit. On the ark, Noah got milk from the cows. What did he get from the ducks? Quackers. All right, that's not that good. What animal could Noah not trust? You should know this. I've told you this before. What is it? What animal could Noah not trust?
A lion.
No, the cheetah. The cheetah. Which Bible character had no parents? Joshua, son of Nun. There you go. See, because it's N-U-N. Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas, where I think we have more fun than anybody I know from 2 to 3 p.m., but then that's just my opinion, and what do I know? Wait, that's what my wife says to me. What do I know? Okay, let's make sure we understand the next trivia question as well. You can always call in with a praise report, and prayer request, and or whatever. 214-210-8483 for the texting, 972-445-0770 for the call-ins. This is a little harder. The Egyptians thought Sarah was related to Abraham in what way? Got to know a little bit of history on there. The Egyptians thought Sarah was related to Abraham in what way? In a very specific way, they thought that they were connected. Let us not forget our website, hemustincrease.org. Website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email David at hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. All right, don't forget to visit our website. I put some new stuff up there. Again, I keep putting new stuff up there. If you click on the picture, by the way, listen, if you click on the picture, it'll take you to a posting I did in one of my PhD classes. It's just kind of a cool thing. You can read it and go, oh, yo, look at that. That's cool. Two things, and then we'll get rolling into rolling. So I want to make sure you guys know some of the material that I do read. I never get anything from any books. I never collect any kind of affiliate things or anything. I highly recommend, for those that want to really understand apologetics and what I'm looking to get into, Josh McDowell's More Than a Carpenter. It will cost you about $13 on Amazon. You can probably get it for $8 used. Probably one of the best reads you'll ever have if you really want to talk to somebody or read something that's got some real specifics in regards to science and evolution and so on and so forth. Okay? This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hello, it's Deborah.
Hi, Deborah. How are you?
Doing good today. How about you?
I am doing fantastic. I had this really wonderful meeting with these people, the Bucket Ministry people. It was really a lot of fun to see the things that God is doing in other people's lives. It doesn't have to just be in our lives. Sometimes it can just be cool what he's doing in other people's lives. So I had a really...
That sounds really, really good, what they're doing.
Yeah. I mean, given drinking water, just think about that, how people... If you just think about it, we take that for granted so much because you only turn on that faucet and you just grab a bottle and you crack open that lid. And it's like, these are people that they don't have that. And about 80% of them get sick because of the water. It's like, wow, it's amazing.
No doubt. Right. Horrible.
Okay, so this is a good question. Got a little bit more thought behind it. The Egyptians thought Sarah was related to Abraham in what way?
You know, I'm probably wrong about this, but I think it's a sister.
That is correct. You are right.
Oh, cool.
Now, here's the key component that there's a lot of arguments about everything in Scripture, which is kind of the funny part. But Abraham didn't let on that that was his wife because he was afraid these people were going to kill him. And in an indirect way, they had a relationship. They had a sister-brother relationship, kind of like twice-removed kind of mentality. But there's a lot of commentators that are like, he did that, and then that happened again. It happened twice, and then the kids ended up doing the same kind of thing. And it's like, that is not a lot of confidence that God will work it out.
No doubt. All right, well, thank you. Have a good day.
Yeah, thanks so much. God bless.
Right.
Great job. All right. I love it. We have people texting in. We got people. That's right. Yeah, so I had read one commentator. The commentator was actually, it seemed like he was mad at Abraham. I'm not sure I'd have been mad at Abraham. I mean, I understand it, I guess, but he thought he was going to get, you know. See, because if they were married, then they would kill him, and then she'd be free to marry. So if they thought it was the brother, it was a little sneakery. Sneakery. Thank you. Judges chapter 10, verse 14 through 16. Yep, having a good day. Here's what it says. Go out and cry out to the gods which you have chosen. Let them deliver you in your time of distress. The sons of Israel said to the Lord, we have sinned. Do to us whatever seems good to you, only please deliver us this day. So they put away the foreign gods from among them, and they served the Lord, and the Lord could bear the misery of Israel no longer. Okay. So in my intro, you heard me say, there's some things that God can only put up with so much for so much time. And in this case, it's a good thing. So the children of Israel had a couple of problems throughout their existence. They started off whining pretty good in the wilderness. Then they went through a couple of really bad moments there with Moses, bad calls with Joshua. And there you get into Judges, and the Judges are, you know, really going after, you know, specifically every time a judge comes, there's a period of peace. And the children of Israel acknowledged that they were doing wrong, but they were kind of pushing God. And by that, they were pushing to see how far they could go before they would get in trouble, how far they can get away with stuff. And there's comes this point where you and I, if you have a besetting sin, and if you want to know what that besetting sin is, that's the sin that you always struggle with, the one that you just thought about. Well, that is not something that is unaware to God. And yet the goal is not to push it with God, but to bring it to God and to say, hey, I need help. Okay, and one of the things I think that happens is because Christians have been overly shamed, and they have been, that you should, instead of sitting there and turning away and pretending it doesn't exist, if you've got something that you're really struggling with, bring it to the Lord and say, look, this is way beyond me. This is like a David Goliath thing, only my faith's not where David's faith is, and I need some help. And believe me, if you come before the Lord with a sincere heart, willing to walk in his ways and trying to put away the things that are foreign in your system that separate you from God, he's not going to turn you away. It's the exact opposite. Remember, the high priest could only go into the actual presence of God one day a year on Yom Kippur, the day that the nation was dealing with sin. When Adam and Eve sinned, they ran away from God and hid. God put a testimony in his law to say, come to me and find deliverance. And so if you're going through it and it's tough and it's hard and it's frustrating, you're not alone. There's many people that go through that, struggle with sin. They work through it. Doesn't mean you can't overcome it, but doesn't mean that the struggle is not real. And so they recognized it and they admitted it. You know what? Confess it. And the smartest thing that Christians can do is confess. I think the worst thing that a Christian could do is go, uh-uh. It's like so stupid. Because the Lord will always forgive you if you have a sincere and repentant heart. But if you have pride and try to hide, it's a bad call. So they said, hey, do whatever it is you think that needs to be done, because we really blew this. And what that is submission, surrender. And there's this mindset, well, you don't surrender to anybody. And even in our country, we have this, you know, we don't take it from anybody. Hey, if God knocks on your door, my strongest advice in the universe is surrender, no matter what's going on, right then and there, or you will walk with your foot attached to your nose. So don't do that. Why would you do that? Why would you try to anger he who createth the universe? Why would you do that? Like, let's not do that. And so my strenuous encouragement here is for you and I to walk in a submissive attitude. And so they're please, Lord, deliver us from this situation. And they took real action. And I want to say something about this. The scripture says they put away the foreign gods that were among them. They didn't just lip service the Lord. They said, yeah, I'm struggling. This is bad. I'm going to separate from this. Let's say you're a person and you were looking at something on the internet you shouldn't look at, or you're doing something like that. 86 that from your life. Get rid of it. Dump it. Okay? But here's how the Lord responds. And he could bear the misery of Israel no longer. The Lord had had enough. Because they were separated from God because they were indulging in sin and kind of being flagrant about it. And the Lord didn't like the distance between him and his people. Why do you think that's any different between you and God? He doesn't like that distance. No, you're not perfect. I mean, that is what forgiveness and mercy and grace are all about. But God doesn't like that distance that goes between you and him. He doesn't like it when I'm distanced. I do my devotions. I'm very committed to my devotions, and I think a lot of people who've heard the show know. So I've been a Christian for 43 years. I will tell you, I have done devotions my entire life. In the last 23 years, 22 years, 9 months, and 7 days. 14 days. And that's 9 months and 14 days. I've not missed a single day of spending an hour with God. Not one. Okay? And that time in him is the most important time I have in my entire existence. And you think, well, why? Well, first of all, thanks for bragging, Dave. And it's like, well, listen, if I can do that, you can do that. Anybody can do that if you choose to spend time with God. How do you spend time with God that can take up an hour? Well, I read for a half hour. Sometimes I read one version, sometimes I read another, sometimes I do a study. I do it all different ways. And then I talk to him and I tell him. And you know what I found out in these last 22 and a half years? What an idiot I was that I didn't do this the first 20 years. That's what I found out. Because God loves hanging out with me and I love hanging out with him. And that is what heaven is. You can be hanging out with God all the time. As important as you think all the other stuff is, if you start your day off with a mindset towards the Lord, you'll understand when he writes something like, he could bear the misery of Israel no longer. He doesn't like it when we're hurt. I mean, you know, we're in a sinful world. And the full redemption hasn't come to pass in the capacity that he hasn't pulled it all back, right? But he loves you, and he wants to spend time with you, and he wants you to spend time with him. And he yearns for you. So say, I want that. I want that, so I yearn for you. That's just honest. Be honest. It's a good thing. All right, folks, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. I'm going to take a short break. Come back. Don't go anywhere.
It seemed like an all right guy till the first time.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
Ladies and gentlemen, it's been my privilege in my past. I've been a Christian for a short time, only about 40 years. But when I was in my first year, I had a chance to meet James Robeson, who had a chance to pray for my brother and myself. Very helpful at a very needful time as we were fighting our way out of a Christian cult. And he prayed for clarity. And it was just a pastor's gathering in Phoenix, Arizona. And I have the privilege again of interviewing one of what I consider to be one of the great men of God who are still with us on this planet. And I just want to give a wholehearted welcome and open door and open heart to James Robeson. Thank you, sir, for being a part of our show and a part of our audience.
Well, David, it's a pleasure to join with you, and I'm grateful that praying together was meaningful to you and a very important point in your life. So just joy to be with you and your listeners. Now, David, can I just download what I believe is the heart of our Heavenly Father to your listeners for a few minutes?
Yes, please, by all means.
When I spoke to the leaders before the election, and I talked about the need, this is in Washington, there were nearly 2,000 pastors and church leaders there. And I said, I'm telling you, there are people right now who are being captivated by the Jesus they see in some of our lives. And I said, listen to me. We have a fatherless nation. desperately in need of a father. If we, as believers, as Christians, who have the perfect father, if we would show people clearly what the family of the perfect father looks like, I believe the fatherless would run to the father and the father's house. And I believe that. I said that to the President of the United States. I said, sir, your children say you're a good father. Eric Trump happened to be sitting by me when I first said that. Eric said, he's a great father. I said, well, he may be, but that doesn't mean he's flawless. I do believe that we need a father, and I believe we can pray and God can raise up people that have a father's heart. And so I began to emphasize the church revealing what the father's like. Now listen to me. We as believers comprise the body of Christ, the body of born-again, baptized into Christ believers who are born from above. We have a perfect heavenly father who reveals his will. He's not willing that any should perish. He said, you call on me, and I'll heal your land. Now, listen to me. Christian believers, we're not looking for a champion. We've got one. He's the only one that rides the white horse. We're not looking for a king. We have a king. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, that's Jesus. He holds kings in his hand. Our king, our shepherd, our father said, come to me as my family, and you ask me to heal your land in desperate need of healing. You come in humility. You come knowing I'm the only one that can heal. And I can use imperfect vessels to accomplish my perfect will. I always have, I always will.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Don't forget you can reach out to us, 972-445-0770. I'm now going to have a mime read those numbers. Here we go. Okay, excellent job. And now, see, there's only a few people that get that joke. That's good, though, isn't it? It's pretty funny. You can text in 214-210-8483. Here's the next trivia question. See, mimes, they don't make noise. Okay. Which tribe of Israel had the responsibility of moving the tabernacle? There you go. Think you know, just text it in. Call in. Don't forget our website, hemustincrease.org. Website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email David at hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. All right, don't forget to check out the website. I will give an update. I don't know if it's going to be tomorrow, Thursday, or Friday on the school stuff. It's looking like amazing. That's all I'm going to say. I just want to say amazing, and I'm very excited about stuff like that. I love where the Lord kind of is weaving and stuff like that. All right, here we got somebody answering the trivia question. Here we go. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Ron.
Hi. Can you hear me?
How are you today?
I'm doing fantastic. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing excellent.
I like that you're doing excellent, okay? This is a good trivia question, okay? This is a classic. Which tribe of Israel had the responsibility of moving the tabernacle?
Levites.
That is correct, sir! Excellent job. Now, what I think that's crucial is because the Levites were a tribe in Israel, correct?
Yes.
But they were not the same as other tribes. They had a lot of differences in responsibilities and the way they functioned and the way they did that, and yet they were all called Israel.
Yes.
That's a big key, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
All right. How are you feeling today? You feeling good?
Excellent.
Yeah, I love it. This is a great attitude, man. I love it. All right.
Hey, can I do a little add-on to what you said?
You can. Yes, you may.
Okay. God chose Levi, right?
Uh-huh.
But you got to realize that that in Abraham, in the 15th chapter, the first verse, where it says that I am your great reward, so he also initiated that with the Levites.
Excellent. Excellent add-on. Good job, my brother. Good job. I really appreciate that. It's a good word. All right, my friend, here we go. Back into the rest of this stuff. Thanks for calling in.
Thank you.
God bless you, brother. Okay, got a little bit of history you got to cover, and then we got this lesson. This lesson is really cool. I think it's cool. Maybe you will. I don't know. But first, let's make sure we cover history.
Let's go living in the past. Let's go living in the past.
All right, talk about living in the past. Ready? Today is National 8-Track Tape Day.
I know those.
See, I know those. You're so bad. You realize how old I feel when you do that. Remember the 8-tracks? And then let's see if everybody remembers. Remember, you'd put it in. It didn't work. Way before the Mario games. And then you'd pull it out. What would you do? You'd blow it.
And put it right back in.
Right back in. It's got to be dust.
I remember that, you guys. Oh, my goodness gracious.
Today is National Cheese Toast Day. I don't really know what that means. I mean, because pizza would be cheese and bread. Cheese toast, was it just toast with a piece of cheese? Is that?
Yeah, it's probably melted to make it all fancy. It's probably brie cheese.
Okay, that's just not working. Okay, National Linguine Day. Okay, all right, that's good. I mean, that's fine. And then Butterscotch Cinnamon Pie Day. You can tell I haven't had lunch. It's just like whenever I use the foodies. I know. It's not the best in the world. Tea looks like she's going to throw up.
So nasty.
All right. 1928, Sir Alexander Fleming observed mold growing in his lab. Doesn't sound like he was doing much, but he observed that it was killing bacteria. This later became known as penicillin. So that's pretty important. 1949, on this day, the television series The Lone Ranger aired its first episode. If you have any Jewish background, I cannot say the joke on the air, but I will just I'll just say there's an old classic Yiddish pun that goes "Kimosabi" means what? And I can't fill in the blank or anything. 1965 on this day, Lost in Space, Danger, Will Robinson, Danger, which they did a redo like on Netflix or whatever, kind of like years and years and years later. Science fiction TV show debuted on CBS with the original episode, The Reluctant Stowaway. And then hats off to 1971 to our very own Columbo, who would always at the end of his drilling, somebody would go, "And just one more thing. And just one more thing."
Never that guy.
Okay. This is, I love this word that I'm going to share with you. I'm going to do my best to share it, like, as much as I can. But I love it because it applies to me and you and all of us in at various times in our lives. Judges chapter 6. Verse 12 says, "The angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, 'The Lord is with you, O valiant warrior.' Then Gideon said to him, 'Oh, my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? Where are all his miracles which our father told us about, saying, did not the Lord bring us out of Egypt? But now the Lord has abandoned us and given us into the hand of Midian.'" All right. This is Gideon having, you won't call it an argument, but let's just say a brief discussion with an angelic being who's representing the Lord, and whether it's a Tiffany or not, or whether it's a type of a manifestation, I don't know. I don't care. Here's what I catch. Ready? The angel of the Lord goes, "The Lord is with you." And Gideon goes, "No, he's not." That's what he did. So he's like, "Ah, really? Yeah, the Lord is with us. Why's all this stuff happened?" That's what exactly what he said. Now, you want to put that in today's language, right? Your team is awesome. Then how come we're 0-80? It's like, that's what it is. And then this is the thing that we don't catch. The Lord is with you. And then Gideon's response is, well, it's like the Lord is on Pluto. And then the reality is the Lord calls it the way that he sees it, not the way that we perceive it or understand it. Unless you think this is all, that's the only place it is. The Lord looked at him and said, "Go in this strength, in your strength, and deliver Israel from the hand of Midian. Have I not sent you?" He said to him, "O Lord, how shall I deliver Israel? Behold, my family is the least in Manasseh, and I'm the youngest in my father's house." So God goes, "You're strong." And the response is, "I'm weak." See, this is the truth. This is what happens in the Christian faith, is the Lord will say something to you, encourage you, say something that's specific, and you're like, I'm not seeing it that way. I'm not feeling it that way. But that's the difference between God's proclamation and our observation. All of it comes down to verse 16. The Lord said to him, surely I be with you, and you shall defeat Midian as one man. You will prevail. But what happens is we're sitting there going, man, I feel weak. I'm from a small tribe. Things aren't going very good, and things seem to be against us. But see, when the Lord makes a proclamation, it's not a proclamation of, boy, I hope it turns out this way. It's a proclamation. It's going to turn out that way. This is the same thing we talked about. What was it? Last week, I think we did the authority one on Jesus being in charge and authority. Why was that boat going to the other side? Because it was Jesus Christ who said, we're going to the other side. That's why. And because Jesus said, we're going to the other side, they were going to the other side, whether they went as a submarine or not. And when God makes a proclamation, it is so. And what we think is, well, I don't like the way it all looks. And God's response is, why don't you line up with me? Why don't you get on my train? Why don't you get in my frame of thought? Because the Lord makes promises about protecting his kids and delivering his kids. And what do a lot of Christians say right now? Not feeling like a lot of protection. I mean, that's what they're saying now. Same thing that Gideon said. But the Lord promises his protection. And the Lord promises to be with us. And the Lord promises to take where we're at and make it useful for what he needs to get done in the kingdom. And you can be a part of it and smile. You can resist it and go through a separate fight with God. You can just line up and watch the kingdom manifest. Remember in the book of Daniel how there was the gold statue and then the silver and then the bronze and then the legs of iron? Remember that whole thing with Daniel? Don't get eschatological. I mean, just think about this for a split second. Wasn't it just simply a small little rock that was in the dream that came and smashed the statue to pieces? The Lord only needs a little. I think Jesus said it quite plainly when he said, you know, if you have a mustard seed of faith, that's a little itty bitty, itty bitty. You see, when we're looking at it from our own understanding, we don't have all the time elements. We don't have all of the knowledge. We don't have all the facts. In fact, I think, or I should say this, in reality, I think we observe a lot of this and then throw our feelings into it, our understanding, and think that we've got a good handle on it all, and we understand the whole perspective. And I think that's what puts us in danger. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him. He will direct your paths. And he has promised he will never leave you nor forsake you. If God makes a declaration, whether it looks that way right this second or not, it is so. And there's nothing in the universe, no circumstance in the universe that can change it. Get that? He says it, it's done. Got it? You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Moving is hard. It's a moment that everyone dreads. But wait, there's an answer. Jesus can help. And for the moving parts, Men of God Moving is there for you. Men of God Moving is a full-service Christian moving company that is locally owned and operated, serving the entire Dallas and Fort Worth area. Men of God Moving helps with homes, apartments, offices, long and short distance relocations, and so much more. They offer packing and unpacking services, loading and unloading, assembling and disassembling, plus many other helpful services. Tell them you heard it on the David Spoon Experience and receive a substantial discount. Substantial means a whole bunch. Call them at 817-707-7672 or go to their website, menofgodmoving.com. That's menofgodmoving.com. And check them out on Facebook. The Lord's Word says, serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord, not men. Ephesians 6:7. Allow Men of God Moving the privilege of serving you. And listen to Johnny Hill, the owner, often on the David Spoon Experience. To hear his testimony, reach out to Men of God Moving. Johnny's testimony will move you. God bless.
There's no need to fear.
Murder Bear
come is here.
When Josh and Ash are feeling bummed, plus all their friends are being dumb, that's when they need some joy and fun, which they can get from their amazing son, Carter Bear, Carter Bear, Carter Bear, Carter Bear. When things seem to be going wacky, he's the spoon that makes them happy. Carter Bear, Carter Bear, Carter Bear.
The David Spoon Experience.
Get your real estate agents here on sale. Only a dime a dozen. Step right up and get your agents.
What's going on here?
Real estate agents are in bloom here in Texas, so they're being offered only a dime a dozen.
Is this how real estate agents seem to you? A dime a dozen? Well, that's enough. Kimberly McQuinn, Realtor and Broker Associate with Fathom Realty, is not a dime a dozen real estate agent. Real estate isn't her hobby, it's her passion. With over 12 years of experience, Kimberly knows real estate isn't about selling, it's about the relationships. Get a free consultation by reaching out to Kimberly at turn2realtyteam.com. That's turn2realtyteam.com or call 903-484-6637. That's 903-48-HOMES. Whether you're a first-time home buyer or an experienced investor, whether you need a short sale or are looking for foreclosures, Kimberly is the quality you want and deserve for your real estate needs. Don't get the dime a dozen agent. Turn to the best. Turn to Kimberly.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. We are still having fun. You got to have a little bit of fun. We hope the Lord, before this show is over in the next 10 minutes, we hope the Lord comes back. That would be fantastic. That we'd all be done, and then it'd really be cool. But if not, let's hope that we can encourage one another. Here is the next trivia question, texting 214-210-8483, the phone number 972-445-0770. A man who has his quiver full of them is happy. What is in the quiver? Aha! Aha! See, that's the aha. A man who has his quiver full of them is happy. What is in the quiver? That's kind of a good that's a good thing. And then I'll just let you know, I've spent about 20 years trying to actually determine the number for quiver. It's very difficult to figure out. I don't know why it is so hard. Okay, do we have somebody calling in? Okay, quiver, here we go. Here we go. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Ronnie.
Hey, Ronnie. What's going on? You're doing good? I know you're feeling good. I know you're feeling good because we already talked about that. Quiver. Now, before you answer this, do you know what the amount is? What a quiver? I don't know. I'm asking seriously. I've heard people say it's 3, 5, 7, 9. I can never figure out what the amount is. How many is it before it's full? But what is it full of?
Arrows.
Yeah, but what is it full of in the scripture when it says, "Blessed is your quiver when it's full"? He's talking about. He's talking about
children.
Yes, yes. Children, kids. That's it. Now, why I brought that other part up, and I hope it didn't confuse you. I apologize if I did, but I've had a bunch of people say, "Well, quiver is 3 or 4 or 5 or 6." I think of. If there's a quiver of 10, the parents have lost their minds. But I'm just saying, how many is in a quiver? I cannot figure that out for the life of me. Do you have any idea?
No, I do not. I know it's a lot.
It's a lot.
It never specified about the number.
Yeah, it's as many as... Oh, so Eric's texted in and said, as many as you can get. That's a lot. I think, you know, it's like, that's a toughie, you know? But yeah, excellent job. You got it. I threw you off when I said quiver too many times. Filled with kids. The kids are the quiver that you're blessed for. Good job, my bro.
Yes. Okay, thank you.
God bless you. All right.
God bless you too, bro.
All right. So, yeah, if you guys know, I know there's everybody, all these commentators, it's this, it's this. If somebody actually is a professional archer, I would probably listen to that, right? But otherwise, you know, you could simply say the quiver is the same amount that you ended up with. You could say that. But then again, I consider my dog a distant child, so that could be a problem. Nah, forget it. Anyhow, let's do our DNA. D, draw closer to the Lord.
Daily.
N, never be ashamed. And A, always be ready to?
Serve.
Good job. All right. We still got to do our website, don't we? Do we do that? Okay, website. HeMustIncrease.org. HeMustIncrease.org. Email David at HeMustIncrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. Do you like how I caught TF guard there? That was pretty good.
Caught me way off. I was like, yeah.
Yeah. Wait, what? All right. I want to talk to you about the WCS syndrome. I've talked to you about this before. I want everybody to, just in your mind, say WCS syndrome. WCS syndrome. Okay? All right. You're thinking, oh, what is that? I mean, that is WCS stands for something very specific. Get ready. So Gideon said to him, this is Judges chapter 6, if now I have found favor in your sight, then show me a sign that it is you who speaks with me. The angel of the Lord put out the end of the staff that was in his hand and touched the meat and the unleavened bread, and the fire sprang up from the rock and consumed the meat and the unleavened bread. Then the angel of the Lord vanished from his sight. When Gideon saw that he was an angel of the Lord, he said, alas, O Lord God, for now I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face. And the Lord said to him, peace to you, do not fear, you shall not die. All right? So the first thing Gideon does is he asks for proof. I just want to make sure you're who you say you are. You know, I'm just kind of verifying. I'm having a hard time. Sometimes that's okay to do. Sometimes that's not okay to do. Just ask the New Testament people like Elizabeth and Zechariah. And so here you have asking for proof, and he gets a miracle. And then what's the next thing he says? I'm going to die. It's like, I need a miracle from God. Here's a miracle. Oh, no, I've seen God. I'm going to die. That's WCS syndrome. You're thinking, what are you talking about? That's what many of us have. It's called worst case scenario syndrome. WCS. Gideon goes, I need a miracle. God's like, here's a miracle. He's like, now I'm going to die. It's just like, this is what we do. And you think I'm kidding. I know you guys do this because I do this. You think, oh, Lord, I need this to happen. And the Lord does it. And you're like, oh, no, it's going to get worse after the Lord answers. And it's like, it's all too often we're anticipating a disaster. Are we looking for the other shoe to drop every time something goes good? The blessing of the Lord maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it, which means that the Lord blesses you, and that's it. Not the Lord blesses you, and then he's sitting on your shoulder going, now you just wait a couple weeks until I really zap you the other direction. It's like, that's not what's going on. And poor Gideon is like, I need a miracle. Here's a miracle. Oh, no, I'm going to die. Like, that's what we do. And we've got to stop anticipating disaster when the Lord does something great. Like, the Lord is not there to do something great only to even it out. You've heard people ad nauseum, especially on cable TV, which you shouldn't even be watching when we're talking about the news. But they say, oh, well, the universe will even itself out. Even Nancy Pelosi just said, Mother Earth is mad, and that's why there's all the fires. Forget the fact that people are lighting the fires. Forget that fact. Here's the bottom line. This is not an even out the universe system. You are on the favored side if you are a child of the Most High God, period. That's what grace and mercy are all about. Grace is unmerited favor. You, by acknowledging Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, being sorry for your sins, you enter into a relationship with God that is grace-based. Now, there are moments where the Lord will discipline you, and there are times where he corrects you, and growing pains are still painful, but grace-based is the direction you want to go. because one thing is not connected to the other. You don't get blessed from the Lord just to find out now you're going to get smacked around from the Lord. It's not like that. It's like that in our world, because what we do is if somebody does something really nice for you, then you feel like you owe them a favor, right? Oh, I owe them. Well, because it's the creator of the universe, you owe God no matter what, but he's extending grace and gifts to you just for being connected with him. It's like, okay, well, here's my deal. I get to give you all of my garbage. You take all that and push it to the side, and then I get to sit in your lap and live with you forever. And all I got to do is say, yes, I believe. What a deal. What a deal. That's how God is. Unfortunately, what we've done is we've dropped in that WCS syndrome, thinking, well, that is so fantastic. Nah, now what's going to happen? Get into a car accident now? Or it's like, come on. The Lord's not trying to even things out in the universe. And you think, well, no, that has to be even. No, more people are going to hell than going to heaven. Sorry. God's the one who said it. Sorry. I can't. Wide is the road to destruction. Narrow is the path to life. Okay. But here's the bottom line. Through Jesus Christ, it's grace-based. And you need to say yes to Jesus. And if you're a Christian, you don't just say yes to Jesus once. You say yes to Jesus every day. Because that's what it takes to be engaged with God. God is not just Wednesday nights and Sunday mornings. Nobody's impressed with that. Especially God. How would you like God to be the God of your life only Wednesday nights and Sunday mornings? Would that be a disaster? What is it, Saturday? Duck! You know, it's like it would be terrible. Listen, have a grace-based, awesome relationship with God. Stop expecting something terrible to happen right after God does something wonderful. And believe, not just for the best, but believe because he is the best. Better than you can even imagine. Unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or imagine. To him be glory, world without end, throughout all the ages. In Jesus' name, amen. Don't be a master of the WCS syndrome. The blessing of the Lord maketh rich, and he adds no sorrow with it. Okay, folks, you've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Taking a 23-hour break, then we'll be back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
Can't stand this guilt, can't stand this shame. It may be false, but it feels...
Views and opinions expressed in the preceding program are those of its participants and do not necessarily reflect those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.